Rocky Man is a production of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, produced by Doug Greenberg and Jason Heats. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rocky Minute, and join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix. You can also send us an email at rockyminute@gmail.com and tell us how great or how bad our podcast is. We have Rocky Minute t-shirts, coffee mugs, and notebooks, and other items for sale at our Rocky Minute page on tpublic.com. You can find our other great podcasts on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, showcasing the talents from the greatest era in action films. We can be found on any podcast app like Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. Special thanks go out to the creators of the Minute by Minute, format Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute. Go to moviesbyminutes.com to see a complete list of all the movies that got the Minute by Minute treatment. Thank you for listening. As Sylvester Stallone would say, keep punching.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky III 1 minute at a time. I am one of your hosts, Doug.
I'm Jason.
The other host.
And
we have our good friend, Craig Cohen, joining us for minute 13. Craig, welcome.
Hello, Craig.
Yeah, hey guys. It's great to be back. I always enjoy this. Bless you.
Jesus. Sorry.
Gesundheit.
Carry on.
I don't know how you follow that.
It sounds
like it's really messy over there now.
I would just like everyone to understand that this is the daily grind I go through with editing these shows.
Like I'm the only person that sneezed ever.
I hope the podcasting gear had a sneeze guard.
I put my face in my shirt.
Which is nothing for the sound. Oh, man. Well, today, we're knocking out minute 13, which begins with Rocky coming straight from the heart and ends with a mansion. Jay, do you honestly, remember those goofy openings that I wrote for last season? Do you miss those?
No.
Okay.
No, I really, really don't.
You like this straight up analyzing?
Straight up. And yep. Okay. I really don't.
All
like
right. Them. Okay. So I will not go back and start writing those again.
I definitely think you should not do that.
All right. So Rocky here wants to tell him straight from the heart. And this is the moment. This is Rocky, you know, just coming out and being honest, right? You ain't down. You ain't a loser. You're just a jealous, lazy bum.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of reaction do you think Rocky expected there?
I think he expected exactly what Paulie gives him. But I also think that Rocky had to do this.
Do you think Rocky thought that he was going to knock him out?
That he was going to knock him Paulie out?
Yeah, like that he would have to?
No, you know what? Rocky does exactly what he needs to do. He knows Paulie's drunk and he's going to come out, you know, taking these wild swings at him. And he just plays defense, just puts his arms up, you know, and he dodges a little bit here.
I would like to see the move where Rocky puts his hand on Paulie's head and Paulie keeps swinging but can't reach him because he's like an arm length away. I would rather have seen that.
I mean, do you think Rocky was just... He knew that eventually Paulie would get tired? I mean, there has to be a universe where Rocky knocked him out.
I don't think that's ever in Rocky's... Man, now you got me wondering, because Paulie has almost brought him to that point before. In fact, in the script in Rocky I, after Paulie tells Adrian she's busted, Rocky tells him, if you ever say that to my girlfriend again, I'll kill you.
Right.
I mean, we've come a long way from that, sure, but I don't know. You think Rocky has it in him to knock Paulie out?
No.
I think so.
He's such an easy, you know, he's like a, you know, you mush him too hard, he's going to fall over. Like, Paulie's not any challenge to Rocky.
No, I don't think he would have any sort to knock him out.
Now, Rocky just, you know, he tells him he's a bum, a jealous, lazy bum, which I think everybody who's watching can agree that Paulie is.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been since day one that we've met him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that there's a scenario where it would have taken like 10 to 12 minutes for Paulie to get tired out? I mean, like
it just keeps going.
Yeah. I mean, like,
15 rounds. Boy, he just keeps going. He won't quit. I mean, Rocky does what he could do here. Mm-hmm. Like, he can right now, one swing will lay Paulie out and put him to sleep.
True.
But Rocky puts his hands up in defense and he's shucking and jiving. Right. He's moving out of the way. He's blocking the punches.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is hurting Rocky.
Mm-mm.
So I think Craig,
he just knew the rope-a-dope was going to work.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, how much training has Paulie done? You know, Rocky's lungs are far better than Paulie's are at this point. And,
right.
You know, Paulie's coming off a bender and sleeping it off in the drunk tank. I don't think Paulie's got too much in him.
No.
He takes a few wild swings. Doesn't even hurt Rocky.
No.
But there's, I have a note here that right up 5 seconds.
Five. Hold on.
Second five, that face that Paulie has right there at second five, like, I do feel a little pity for the guy, right? That's right before he starts, you know, going crazy on Rocky.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the guy's not well. The guy's got a lot of stuff in the basement, but he goes right from that, you know, that look of pity to, I'm going to break your mouth before he starts swinging. Mm-hmm. So he throws what I counted was 6 sloppy punches at Rocky before he gets tired and taps out.
Mm-hmm.
And then this goes for a few seconds. My next note is second 32. So let's go to second 32, everybody.
Everybody, second 32. Paulie's tired. Ask for a job.
Oh, yeah. Not now. Wait, hold on. Yeah, when he asks for a job, like, he looks like he's going to.
Oh, yeah.
Not just out of breath, but, like, he's about to cry.
Yeah.
I don't, like.
He shouldn't be this out of breath. I think my mother can throw 6 punches and be in better shape than this.
Yeah, well, you know, I think most people could.
No, my mother can't.
But it's, like, this, it's hard, as much as Paulie is a scumbag and he does things like he does, you know, says shit to Adrian and looking for handouts and stuff like this. I give this to Burt Young as an actor. Like he makes Paulie a sympathetic character. Like, I feel bad for Paulie here, even though he just acted like a complete scumbag.
Mm-hmm. I have never felt bad for Paulie.
No,
no.
Did you look at second 32?
I don't feel bad for him.
Look at it again.
I don't feel bad for him.
Craig, do you feel, are you with me or no?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You feel bad for him? For what? For what
totally.
Reason?
I mean, because I don't think, you almost have to think of Paulie as like a child, you know? And I think that Rocky, you know, did what a parent needs to do on occasion. And you have to, you know, get to that real talk. And I think, you know, it took Paulie hearing the truth to, you know, sort of have reality slap him in the face. And, you know, I don't think anything Paulie does is malicious.
Right.
You know, he's ultimately, I don't want to say harmless, because I don't think harmless is the right word. But, you know, I don't think he ever really has bad intentions. He just expects more than most people.
I agree that he doesn't have bad intentions, but there's a point when, even in absence of bad intentions, when you've had enough and you're like, all right, like, this is enough of this act, this drunken, you know, woe is me, gimme act. And eventually it gets to be annoying. I don't feel bad for him at any level.
Jay, we, you know, by nature of our job, we've seen people's rock bottom, and very rarely do we feel sorry for them. But a family member, seeing a family member at rock bottom is, I think, different. When you see somebody that you know and you've,
it depends, you know, what kind of rock bottom we're talking about here.
Let's compare it to Paulie. We're not, you know, heroin addicts, you know, stealing from our family and, you know, shooting ourselves full of dope into oblivion. Let's not go that far.
Okay.
Okay. We're just like, you know, drinking too much and picking the guy up from a drunk tank four times. It's tough. It's tough when it's your own, you know, when it's somebody that you know and love, when you've seen them, you know, in a good place, and now all of a sudden they're a rock bottom.
Maybe because it really hasn't happened to me. No, I have some relatives that I'm not super close with that have hit rock bottom, and I never felt sorry for them.
Okay.
I actually have some of my family now that I'm thinking about it, that it's very Paulie-esque, and I never felt sorry for them.
Really?
No, I actually cut ties with him because of his behavior.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm like a like, I don't want to seem like I'm not empathetic to people and their problems. Everybody has problems, everybody has issues or whatever. I'm just I don't have the sympathy for people that don't try to fix their problems.
Gotcha.
And I think Paulie's been, you know, and there's nothing malicious about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I hate Paulie. I'm not saying if I was Paulie's my brother-in-law, I would invite him over, like whatever. But there gets a point where you had enough and you're just like, like you're not doing anything to help yourself. You're a drunk. You're a lazy, jealous bum. Like enough already. Like I've had it. Like when you sober up and you want to talk to me, come talk to me. I'm not coming to.
Maybe all they wanted was his job.
It seems like there's a split vote here.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that all Paulie wanted was a job. So after taking these wild swings, Paulie asks him, "Can I have a job?" And Rocky says, "All you had to do was ask," which I think Paulie has done before.
Now, let me just ask you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like,
But let me ask you a question. If you let's say now you're Rocky, you've hit some level of stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Fame, fortune that comes along with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you two scenarios. Scenario A is you have a guy like Paul in your life, drunk brother-in-law, who's more a pain in the ass than he is a help to you. Jealous, lazy bum, right? And you have a true friend who's been there for you, that you, when you're going through some tough times, you called him up and he talked you through it and has helped you and has built you up and has, you know, hasn't been a burden to you, but has been, you know, a benefit to you.
Sure.
Now, when you hit your level of stardom, who are you more likely to help? In terms of, you know, giving things to, and maybe the person has been there for you. Maybe he's not, doesn't have the best job. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of money, so he could use some help too. Different help than what Paulie can need. Who would you be more willing to help?
I mean, you're helping the guy that's been there the whole time.
All right.
But who is that to Rocky?
No, I'm not saying it is to Rocky. I'm saying...
Oh, in general?
In general. Like, if Paulie was just a good friend to him, a good mm-hmm. brother-in-law, a good friend, and was just there for him, and didn't want anything in return, that right. you'd be more willing to help that person.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Yeah, you definitely want to take care of the people that have supported you and were there for the journey. I don't know. It's hard to compare because Rocky doesn't have that person for him. He only mm-hmm. has the, you know, the three people that, you know, he has Rocky, he has Adrian, Paulie, and Mickey. Now, Craig, this transcends Rocky here for you and me, but Sly's acting here, I don't like it. I don't like the whole, like, when the all you had to do was ask, because I feel like he leaves the Rocky character for a moment and becomes Sylvester Stallone.
Well, yeah, and that's a genuine argument that people could have against this movie. This is the movie where he's the least Rocky of all the Rocky movies, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does. I've been kind of keeping track so far of the way he speaks, and in the Rocky moments, he's still using his double negatives, and he's still, like, you know, dragging his sentences like Rocky does. In this moment right here, when he says all you had to do was ask, and then he makes that face, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's Rocky, not to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree.
Yeah, I always, even as a kid, I noticed that, and I'm like, why does he look different? You know, because I don't feel, Jay, you know what mm-hmm. we're talking about here?
I do.
And your thoughts on it?
I agree.
Okay. You know, he's not the best co-host in podcasting for nothing, folks. Yeah, from here on out, I am going to try to keep track of that. I mean, already he looks different than the Rocky that we know and love. But they explain that away with, you know, plastic surgery and shit. But, the hairdo, mm-hmm. Everything is different on him here.
Yeah, I mean, that look right there, if you pause at minute 40, like, that could be Stallone on Johnny Carson.
Yeah. In fact, he did Johnny Carson right after this, didn't he?
He probably wore that same shirt and tie.
But I don't think... Very well did. I think we've been through this before, though, because I don't think that the Rocky in the beginning of Rocky 2, the Rocky that mm-hmm. I've made it pretty clear that I hate, when he's running around spending all the money, like, I don't think that was the same Rocky as Rocky 1's Rocky.
Right.
And I think he recovered it and toward the end of Rocky 2 went back to being the Rocky that we knew.
At the end?
Right.
Yeah.
But I think now, I agree, this is not the Rocky that we...
No.
And I don't think we see the Rocky that we really like until... And then even between 4 and 5, like, that's two different Rockies completely.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's... If the Rocky from 4 to 5 is like... You know, Sylvester Stallone trying to go back to Rocky from Rocky 1, but even more slow. I said
all last season through all of Rocky 2 that there was a lot of inconsistencies in this character.
Yeah.
And they're already rearing their ugly head at 13 minutes in.
But there's right here.
I know I'm going to get like some there's, comment from Ryan about this when this airs. When's this air? Because he's going to flood my Facebook page with...
Now, Ryan's a purist, and we love him for it. But he's, you know what, though? Ryan will call it like it is. He's not a dummy. But there's a good 10, 11 seconds of Sylvester Stallone being Sylvester Stallone from, like, second 32. The whole, like, all you had to do was ask. Like, his whole face is...
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's not Rocky.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know, that little bit takes me out of it. And
mm-hmm. Fair enough.
You know, they have a couple of comments where they joke around about Paulie's punches. Now, Rocky's car right there, Craig, do you see that car?
Yeah.
That they get into? It's a 1980 Maserati Quattro Porte.
Wow.
So it's been in a few movies, you know, the Maserati Quattro Porte, but nothing really of note. And I was kind of hoping there was some kind of like real good history about it, but there's not. There's not. Except that I'm a dummy and I always thought like a Maserati was kind of like a compact sports car. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's more like this kind of resembles more like a Bentley sort of luxury car, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't look like Rocky paid for the upgraded hubcaps.
Now he went stock on the hubcaps. Yeah. Oh,
man. I'll replace him down the line, and then he never got around to it.
Wow, see, he's even humble in his richness. He went for the low-level... low-level Maserati. So let me ask you guys this. Do you think Paulie threw up in the Maserati?
No.
Oh. I think Paulie did most of his upchucking in the drunk tank.
All right. That's fair. Let's see. Is there anything in the...
Throwing up on. in...
Just scan the script real quick.
Throwing up in friend's car. That's unforgivable.
You have some fucking nerve. You know that? Okay. Craig, may I indulge you and our listeners with a little tale of Jay's bachelor party?
No, please.
We were doing a little bar hopping in Asbury Park. And this is Jay, whose claim to fame was, I don't throw up from drinking.
I still don't, except for that day.
So after many, many... bars hopping around Asbury Park, Jay got drunk and he decided it was time to go home. At so
10 o'clock ish,
very early,
9:30.
So from where I was in Asbury Park to his house in Neptune was less than 10-minute drive.
It's about 3 miles.
Yeah. So we get in the car, and Jay's kind of just, you know, he puts this passenger seat back, and he's slumped over, and he does like these three kind of like heaves, and I'm like, oh God, throws up all over my passenger side door.
Oh, no.
The seat where he's sitting on himself. And the speaker that's in the door, it's in all the little speaker whole slots things. So I dump him off at his house, and I steal some cleaning product, and I'm in his driveway cleaning out my car. And I had that car for probably a year after that before I traded it in, and to the day I traded it in, I couldn't get the smell completely out. It was awful.
Wow.
So this is, Mr. I don't throw up from drinking.
No, I really don't. Mm-hmm. I think I've thrown up from drinking twice in my life.
Was that one of them?
That was one of them. Mm. And my 21st birthday.
Wow. That's a pretty good record, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But when he does, it's monumental.
Let's go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. In the script,
on my 21st birthday, I was living in a fraternity house, and my room, I had my own room. And on one side of the room was a bed, and the other side of the room was a couch. And I was dating this girl at the time. And we woke up, and we were sleeping on the floor in like the corner of the room. And I kind of remember like opening my eyes being like, you know, why are we on the floor? Right. But then I was kind of like, she woke up and I said to her, I was like, wow, I was like, I was really drunk last night. I'm impressed. Like, I'm surprised I didn't throw up at all, but I feel great. Whatever. And then it got to like, but why are we on the floor? And she was like, we're on the floor because it's the only place in the room you hadn't thrown up. I threw up all over my bed, all over the couch, all over the main part of the floor. We were like snuggled in this little corner that I had not thrown up in yet.
Mm. I bet those stories are a dime a dozen out there in Vegas.
Okay, she's throwing up on the strip there.
Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, we go to the outside of Rocky's palace, which I think this is the first. No, we did see it in the montage a little bit, but this is the first time we're getting a good look at the outside of Rocky's mansion. Mm-hmm. Before the minute ends and our time with Craig ends.
Oh.
I know. Sad day for all of us. So, I mean, here we are, Craig. This is, you are a third time returning guest host.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to come back for a fourth time.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely have you back for Rocky IV, but I will certainly speak to you before then in our ongoing podcast project with Ryan, the Sylvester Stallone Podcast Network.
Totally.
But tell us a little bit about Slycast. I mean, you guys have what? You got 40, 30 something episodes, 20 something episodes? What do you got?
20 in the high 20s. Yeah, basically the concept of the podcast is our intent was to travel year by year, movie by movie through Sylvester Stallone's acting career. Actually, not his acting career, his cinematic career, because we did cover a movie that he directed, Staying Alive. So, it's a year by year journey. So we're moving through the movies as they happen. So we didn't do all the Rocky movies together. We sort of, hit the Rocky movies as we got to them. And we're currently in the 90s, which is a little bit of a hard decade for Sly. It started off pretty strong, but then got a little questionable towards the end. So we're just having a lot of fun doing it. And, the core lineup of, myself and the Jeff Ferry and Jeff Hewlett and, the extremely busy and, super talented Mike Kunda are trying to align all our schedules together so we can start getting, regular content out for you guys. I do know that I think it's awesome that, you and Jason have been doing Rocky Minute, and Ryan and Ruben and all of his collaborators have been doing the Going the Distance podcast, which has kept Stallone podcasting in people's podcast players, however they get it delivered. You know, there was a point where there was only one podcast talking about Stallone on a regular basis, and now there's several, which is awesome. So, you know, it's great to be able to listen to.
Yeah, we're kind of just biding time until you guys come back. You know, we're I think everybody's eager to have you guys back on the airwaves. I mean, we had
nobody more than us.
I'm sure. I can imagine. We had the whole quartet on for season one, but I understand what you're saying, because we were unable to get Jeff Hewlett and Mike on last season because Mike is just super busy with everything, with his documentary, with his tours. The guy is like legitimate now. So
yeah.
So getting him to set aside some time has been a challenge. And Jeff Hewlett just kind of went off the grid. So I don't know what the hell happened to that guy.
Yeah, if you don't have all the minutes of part three locked in, I'm pretty certain you can get him.
Okay.
Because I know that he's, like I said, he's you know, we're all committed to Slycast, and I know Jeff's schedule has changed a little bit. So I think if you reach out to him, I could even reach out to him and say, hey, there's still time to get in on season three.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'd be down for it.
Okay, I'll totally reach back out to him and try to get him on for a couple of minutes here in season three. But it, you know, in the meantime, like I'm personally honored that you know that you consistently join us for. I mean, you guys are the Stallone podcast, and you know you always make time for Rocky Minute, and you make time for Craig, and you make time Ryan, and you make time for even Sean Malloy, our mutual friend over there at I Must Break This podcast.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you are absolutely available and attainable, even though you know the fame of Slycast has not yet gone to your head.
Yeah, you guys are the only guys that put up with dogs barking and birds chirping and all the unprofessional nonsense that you shouldn't get sirens. With a podcast guest. Sirens, yeah. People being murdered.
I feel like it's an Ed Begley Jr. commercial.
I appreciate that, though, Doug. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course.
Although I would argue that the Stallone podcast now is going the distance. I mean, Ryan is just knocking him or setting him up and knocking him down. And he had that tremendous interview with Bill Conti, which might be the definitive Bill Conti interview, in my opinion.
I agree. His guest list has gotten more and more legitimate, and it's just culminated recently with Bill Conti. And I'm so happy for the guy that he landed that. And we know how nervous Ryan was going into that interview, Craig.
Yeah, and seriously, if you haven't listened to that yet, or you don't think that an interview with a composer is worth listening to, it most certainly is. I mean, like I already said it's, in my opinion, the definitive Bill Conti interview, and Ryan just killed it. And so great to anticipate it coming, and then being able to load it up in my phone and listen to it. Just great stuff.
Even when he explained it to us afterwards, like I didn't really like he didn't do it justice just by saying like this was a great interview. I had to listen to it, and he really did knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
In fact, when this episode airs, I'll make sure I include a link to that interview for our buddy Ryan.
Sweet.
So go and follow Slycast, go listen to all their episodes. You know, they'll still be on Judge Dredd. We're still waiting on Judge Dredd by the time you hear this.
Oh my goodness.
Hopefully not. Hopefully
it's been the hardest edit of my podcasting career.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, just bear down, bite down on a stick and you know, get through this one. And you know, let's get some more Slycast episodes out, because I'm sure everybody
thank you. As crazy as it sounds, with all the noise and nonsense I bring to these podcasts, I hold my edits to a very high standard. So I try and make them as easy to listen to for the listeners. And sometimes I do more work than I should. And that's the case with Judge Dredd.
Well, at least you have co-hosts that cooperate. Me, I have to do more editing than I really should have to, but it's not a slate on you, Jay. Okay.
Whatever. He's not really. Editor, just said it. Don't complain about it.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
Like the Ron Popeil.
Ron Popeil, yep.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us, Craig.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
Craig.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you tomorrow with a brand new set of guests on a new episode of Rocky Minute. All right. Jay?
I'm ready.
You going to put the phone down?
Nope. No? I'm ready now.
Okay. Hello and what?
Put the phone down. It's like it's day one. Is our first, are we just setting up our first recording?